And welcome back. How far can social media go in fostering a peaceful relationship between Israel and Iran? The animosity is significant. Iran wants Israel wiped off the map and is believed to be developing a nuclear capacity to do so. Israel has drawn a line in the sand and is threatening preemptive action to prevent an Iranian nuclear capability. Israeli graphic designer Radi Idri is reaching out. He's launched a Facebook posting that was a year ago, showing him holding his young daughter and an Israeli flag and proclaiming to the people of Iran, "We will never bomb your country. We love you." Radi Idri joins me in studio. Tomorrow, he'll be receiving the Visionary of the Year Award from the Euphrates Institute. Its mission is to advance better relations between the West and the Middle East. The award will be presented at Principia College's Public Affairs Conference. Also with us is Majid Nowruzi, an Iranian visiting the U.S. who was among the first to contact Radi after the posting. Radi, let me start with you. What happened right after you posted that Facebook page?
Something incredible for us Israeli. We got response from Iranians. And this was a first for me as an Israeli. I never even dream about it, about talking with Iranians, even on Facebook. At that point, I was under the consideration that they don't even have access to the internet. And now we're in your studio 1 year later, and I'm with Majid in real life. You know, so
why did you do it? Why did you post that picture?
I think it's because we have this war coming from more than 10 years, I think, now in Israel. It's on the news now and then, and it's becoming more and more, you know, the pressure is going high. So I try to send my message in a bottle. So as a graphic designer, I do posters, so I made that poster to try to talk to the people on the other side. This is a message, you know, from the people to the people.
And this has actually launched other efforts with regards to Palestinians and other people who are in conflict or perhaps near conflict.
Yeah, that's you know, it's like a door open and so many people wanted to get in. So now we have my page called Israel Loves Iran and we have Majid page called Iran Love Israel. Last week we have the administrator of the page Palestine Love Israel in my house. She came especially from Germany. And it's a huge community of hundreds of pages over the internet, you know, pushing for the same message, which is basically peace in the Middle East, and, you know, trying to get a better world for or children.
Yeah. Majid, tell me what your reaction was when you saw that post.
Yeah, let me first say that just I checked our page and I found some page, United States Loves North Korea. And I wonder with that. Actually, last year when Radi Idri sent his love message to us, at that time we were waiting for some war, some missile from Israel. Then Radi Idri sent a missile of love. That is why we wondered and we told ourselves, wow, love from Israel. That is why we decided that love must be echo. So I told him, I love you. And we tried many ways between Iran and Israel in many years, but we found that love is the answer.
It's one thing to be talking to each other as individuals, but the people who will be making the decisions may or may not be reading Facebook. I mean, I'm talking about the leadership of both.
Yeah, they're reading Facebook already. No worry. They have pages and they're reading and they know about it. And, you know, we have that crazy, wonderful tool called social network. We don't have that, you know, years before. And we can now have a stand. We can now have a voice. And that's really important because as citizens, we have that, you know, duty of standing and say something. And we can say it so loud because of the internet. And the leaders, you know, Obama was in Israel few days ago. And he say it frankly. He say, leaders, and I know what I'm talking about. I'm quoting him. They will follow the people. If the people want peace, the leader will follow. We just have to show the way. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to show the way.
You feel the same way, Majid?
Yes, sure. I believe that leaders must follow people. And I agree with Ronnie Edry that they hear or will hear our voice. And as you know, when leader knows that leader knows that people love each other, they must follow us.
You know, if I may say so, I think it might be more difficult to convince the leaders in Iran, because they basically deny Israel's right to exist. They are developing apparently a nuclear capability, which presumably they might one day want to use against Israel. They deny the Holocaust. And it would seem that, at least looking at it from our perspective here, that Iran may be the bad guys in this.
Unfortunately, yes. But I can say here that they cannot be representative of all of Iranian. I'm as an ordinary Iranian. I love Israelis, and I don't deny Holocaust, and I don't want to make a nuclear weapon to send to Israel. I can send my love to Israel. I can. We believe that we can make coffee instead of war. I searched through history. I found that there is no reason to attack Israel. To me, this is a bluff. Yeah, just this is a bluff. As an Iranian person, we don't have any voice to tell to all of the world we love you, but just we have a Facebook. So from here, I should say thank you, Facebook. Just we have a Facebook and we can tell them that we love you and we have no problem with you. There is no reason to attack you. And we ask you that you don't bomb also our country. You are Israelis and all of American. You are always welcome to our country, but not with your bomb, with your love and with your coffee.
Mm. How about the use of social media in that part of the world, Ronnie? It's proved a very potent and powerful device, if I can put it that way, or means of communicating throughout the Arab Spring, for instance.
Yeah.
Why is it so powerful and so potent in the Middle East?
To me, it's obvious. It's giving us voice, and it's giving us the opportunity to raise or to push our ideas outside. While government having all the power, we can now, you know, go over or under, as you like it, and stand for something. And through social media, I mean, Facebook, Twitter, all those, we can really push some message. And if the message is I don't know how to say it. If the message is strong enough, people will rely it and push it over and over, and it will go viral. And to me, the idea is really that peace can be viral, like a virus. We can push peace like a virus and make it spread all over the Middle East.
Hopefully. That is the hope.
I hope.
We have Jennifer has written on Facebook to us here, and she says, I love this idea, taking a large, contentious issue and boiling it down to a very relatable, interesting perspective on how we think about life and each other, which is exactly what you two gentlemen are really, really talking about. When did you two meet face-to-face?
Just yesterday, down the stairs.
And what was that like, Majib?
Was very. I'm very excited, and this is my first Israeli friend, my best Israeli friend, and this is my first time that I meet Israeli, and I found that they are very nice.
Did you find out that you're a lot more alike than you are different?
No, we have no different. He's a father like me. His wife is a mother like my wife. And our children, they made friends less than 1 minute, and they couldn't leave each other. My daughter told me that, Dad, can we adopt Ronnie's daughter?
I bet most of people, you know, just looking at us, wouldn't know who is the Israeli and who is the Iranian here, you know.
But you are, too, very much alike. You're about the same age, I guess, and your families are very much the same. I'd like to get our listeners into the conversation if they'd care to join this and tell us what you think about this effort to establish an international dialogue using social media, which has proved so potent in that part of the world. My guests in studio are Ronnie Edry, who has initiated the Israel Loves Iran campaign, and Majid Nawrazi is an Iranian among the first to respond. They met face-to-face yesterday. So if you'd like to get into the conversation, give us a call at 382-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. And you can also send us an email if you like at talk@stopublicradio.org. Of course, you can reach us using social media. We are reachable through Twitter at STL on air. And you can also reach us, of course, through Facebook. You know, it's a very strong... Did you want to say something?
No, I'm just smiling too. No.
It is a very potent means of bringing people together. When did you realize that this might be the most effective way for you to reach out as you have done?
To me, it's the only solution, having the people, you know, saying what they have to say. Because when we leave too much power, too much to our government, sometimes the use of that trust is misguided. So to me, we have the people, we have to stand. And there is no other way to resolve that conflict, especially those conflicts in the Middle East. We're so close one to another. We need to forgive. We need to go one step further and to talk and to start to think about peace.
What's the next step in all of this?
This is the next step. We meet and we meet again and we meet other people and we go, as I was saying before, we try to make it viral. The goal here is to have all the people from the Middle East, but people in the States, people all over, having one friend on Facebook or on Twitter or wherever, having one friend from the other side. Imagine Americans having a friend on Facebook from Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, from Israel. So that's how you start to know people, and that's how you start to break, you know, the demon. That's how you rehumanizing the faces of the enemy. And now it's more complicated to go to, you know, blind war. Because you know the faces, you know the people. So my job is to ask for everybody to find one person, go on our page, find one person from the other side, and just friend him. And that's it.
Majid, go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, I believe that our ignorance is their power. It means that when people doesn't know about each other, they don't have any idea about each other. So maybe leaders can use this ignorance for their idea. Actually, we have, as Ronnie said, we have just one aim. Love and peace, and we are in the aim. But for the steps, for this aim, we need some objectives. I believe that, I hope someday we can break this wall between Iran and Israel. We don't know anything about each other. I can remember that at the first, when we started this campaign, As a Middle East, you know, as an Iranian in Middle East, our country is not too far from each other. I didn't know even about their weather, their currency, their language name, nothing. Just always we had some bad imagine about Israelis because of mass media. So by Facebook, we are going to break this wall of ignorance. And I hope someday I can go to Israel with our Nowruz. This is Persian New Year. And make half seen our table in Persian New Year. This is tradition. And tell them that we don't hate you. We have lots of, you know, did you know that the country who has more than 50,000 Jews in Middle East is Iran. I had many Jewish friends. I'm not talking about Israeli friends, Jewish friends, Iranian Jewish friends. So we have many things in common. I hope that someday I can, with my Iranian passport, because just I have one passport, don't mistake about that, with Iranian passport to go to Israel to break this taboo. Talking with Israel is not bad at all. I enjoy it, and I suggest to my friend, my Iranian, my fellow countrymen, to enjoy again and experience this talking with Israelis. Yeah,
Ronnie, given what Majid has just said with regard to not understanding your people and your country, that's one of the things you have to overcome, is the fact that there have been years of propaganda, there have been years of hate messages, and that's very, very difficult to brush aside.
This is the hardest, to break those taboo, to break those barrier of it. It's not ignorance, it's really brainwash. We've been in the Middle East, and it's all the countries, not just Israel. You have the same in Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Iran. Everybody is brainwashed, and we are teaching as young people, you know, that these guys are dangerous. You can ask Majid. He was asked to walk on the flag of Israel and America every morning entering the school. This is how you brainwash. So at some point you start to hate those people. You don't know even why. And the idea here is just to now to show simple faces, just to show faces of the people one to another. And that's how we break this barrier.
Well, let's take some simple voices, too. We have a number of people who have called. And I want to just tell our audience, if they'd like to get a look at these two gentlemen and their first meeting, they can do so on our page at St. Louis Public Radio. And also on Facebook, our Facebook page, we have photographs showing you two meeting for the first time and members of your family as well. Let's go to the phones and get the conversation going outside the studio. Dave and O'Fallon, you're next. Go ahead.
Hey, Don, appreciate the program.
Yes, sir.
And fellas, I'm glad you guys connected in your families the much lauded social media during the Arab Spring. But my question or comment to you guys was, there's much more at the root of the conflicts, religious conflicts, the conflicts in the Middle East than land or money or power or women. This is kind of like the Hatfields and McCoys. Nobody knows what happened on that wildcat trail in West Virginia. You know, we've got all these people fighting and nobody knows why you're fighting. Do you guys have a guess or a suspicion as to why you're fighting?
Ronnie, why don't you start?
Yeah, Dave, that's a good one. I mean, that's exactly my point. People don't even remember how it started and why we're fighting. I mean, with Iran, still we still don't fight. I mean, it's still clear between us. But obviously, it's not a religious issue because Persian... the biggest community of Jewish in the Middle East after Israel is Iran. Persian, yeah. We have a big community of Persian in Israel, so it's not a religious issue. We've been living together for years. This is just pretext by our government to stay strong in their position, and it worked both ways. The regime in Iran used Israel as a pretext to impose his will on his people. In Israel, we have basically the same. We're still a democracy, but fear, it's a hard vector to get elected, and that's how it works.
Hmm. Anything to add to that, Majid?
Yes, unfortunately, that is our problem also, that our conflict just has been highlighted, and nobody cares about our commons. Just I can mention here many comments, as Ronnie also mentioned, the biggest community of Jewish in the Middle East is Iran, and nobody has idea about that. And did you know Jewish has some celebration which is called Purim, and the Purim comes from Esther tomb and Mordechai tomb located in Iran, Hamadan. And why they don't highlight this issue? Cyrus the Great. I've seen many, many roads in Israel called Cyrus mm-hmm. Road. Many Israelis called their first son as a Cyrus. We have many historical common in history, within history, but unfortunately hasn't been highlighted, just our conflict.
I want to bring Becky into the conversation because she wants to, segue from something you've just said. Becky, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, there are many, many Iranian Jews, Iranian Israelis, Iranian Jewish Americans, including my children. My ex-husband is an Iranian Israeli. And I know that for my children and for the Israeli side of the family that I keep in touch with, this has just been a nightmarish situation to contemplate possible war between two countries that they love. And there are many families who celebrate both Nowruz and Pesach around the same time. So I am very, very grateful to Facebook for having this initiative and getting people together.
Becky, thank you so much for the call. And that's the kind of thing I know both of you gentlemen want to hear. Let's bring in Susan from Creve Coeur, who wants to chat with you, too. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi. I feel as though I know you because I've seen your TED Talk and been all over Facebook with you. And it's just thrilling that the two of you are here in St. Louis. I really believe that it's us, we who are the small people with the small voices that are going to change things. I have a nonprofit called New Conscience, and right now we're working on something called Hate Breakers, which is hitting the brakes on hate. And I guess what I want to say is if there's any way we can support what you're doing, we would love that. And how long, you know, I'd like to know how long you're going to be in town.
Hey, hi, Susan. I'm going to be here at Principia College for 3 more days, so you're welcome to to visit there. We can talk on Facebook, obviously, and we can try to coordinate any, you know, work together. We've been working with so many organizations, and yeah, you know, we've been here asked by the Euphrates
Institute.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, so we're working with a lot of NGOs, and you know, feel free to jump in, and we'll find a way to work together. Obviously,
I think the best way is just go to Facebook.
This is the best way.
And there it is. Anything to add to that, Majib?
No, just I wanted to say thank you, Susan, and the previous one that called.
Becky.
Becky. Thank you, all of them.
Well, it's going to be an exciting night for you. Tomorrow night you're going to be receiving that award. The Visionary of the Year Award from the Euphrates Institute be presented to Rani Idri at Principia College Public Affairs Conference tomorrow evening. I'm sure you feel very, very good about where, we only have a few seconds left, about where you are in this whole project.
I'm amazed. I mean, you know, for the first moment 1 year ago when I first received those messages from Iranians to now, it just one crazy year of again and again being, I've cried so much over that year.
Well, let's hope the tears are long gone. Thank you so much for being with us, Majid Norouzi. I hope I have that pronounced correctly. Rani Idri, thank you so much.
Thank you for hosting us.
Congratulations for what you're doing and best of success for both of you. Everybody hopes that this thing works out the way you want it to work out. Tomorrow, join Steve Potter for Cityscape. We'll talk with Belleville native Jay Farrar, who leads the band Son Vault, about his new memoir and album. We'll also hear about New Jewish Theater's one-man production and about the exhibit at the Missouri History Museum, which seeks to redefine black male identity. Join me Monday for St. Louis on the Air, our legal roundtable discussion. Mike Wolf, the new dean of the St. Louis University Law School, will be with us. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and engineered by Aaron Dorr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed and Drew Becker. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.